the topic of this Christian Science prayer treatment on plank number 4 of the 32 planks that are noted in the Christian Science hymnal from pages 330 to 340 inclusive will be reviewed with comments made on how to apply this in a scientific manner for healing. Following is the original text from page 331. The only way. There is but one way to heaven, harmony, and Christ in divine science shows us this way. It is to know no other reality, to have no other consciousness of life than good, God, and His reflection, and to rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. Following is that same text that is parsed into individual key thoughts. 1. The only way. Let's consider what is so important for the student to understand that Mary Baker Eddy placed the text as the very first text right after the title page. It is a quote from Jesus. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right there is stated the only way. Let's consider some thoughts that may apply to what the message is from Jesus. The word know means the understanding is comprehensive, and we've been proving it by our thought, speech, and action to be true. If we cannot prove it, then we don't know that it is the truth. We don't know that it's true at all. We certainly can't rely on words from another, for we have to internalize it and make it our own. The chapter on recapitulation is chapter 14, and recapitulation, of course, means that it is a summary of what is preceding. In this case, chapter 14 is a summary of the key points of the first 13 chapters. And as a matter of fact, if one would take class instruction from a qualified source, they would find that they are confined to the study of that particular chapter in the class. Chapter 14 is in the format of questions and answers, 24 questions. And the very first question must be the most important in the entire first 13 chapters, for it is exactly telling us we better look here to see the only way there is. The question, what is God? The answer, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. All we need to do is understand that exact definition in order to have a foundation in our platform, which is considered plank number 4. The only way is to know what God is, and we must be able to understand it well enough so that all thought, speech, and action is centered around being God-like. No deviation, no adjustment, no variation, no deflection, no dilution, no stoppage, no reversal, but the straight truth about what God is and the understanding thoroughly enough so we can utilize that for healing. If we need more confidence on just how that works, it is suggested that one study the last 101 pages in the textbook, which are testimonies of healing by 85 students, and each one gave testimonies regarding approximately 7 different topics each. So 485 items covered in those testimonies by 85 different people. And these have all been verified, and the documents of the verification are being held by the church. If we need more confidence before we even begin, start there. On the most part, the individuals were attracted either by being totally dissatisfied with their life or stuck in a problem that they had no idea how to work out of. Many of them were considered incurable. They had already gone to medical doctors, in most cases, and were told that there is no solution. Their open consciousness gave them an avenue which led them to discover Christian Science. Therefore, when they started approaching the concept of healing, they were already apparently at the end of their rope. They had no other place to go. As noted, the medical profession was out of answers. But God is never out of answers. God is omnipresent, as well as being omnipotent, omniscient, and omniaction. So there cannot be any action that is outside the jurisdiction of the one and only infinite, which is God. And how does Mary Baker Eddy define man? In the glossary, it states, man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Think about what mind is. The list of all the words that are used by Mary Baker Eddy to define mind have been compiled by the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright. And she went through Science and Health and underlined every place where mind, with a capital M, which by Mary Baker Eddy's use of capitalization indicates that that means God. So she underlined every place throughout the whole textbook and published it as a volume. And she did the same thing with the other six synonymous terms that are noted in the definition of God, which are spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. A few of them are as follows. Creative force. All faculty. Functionality. Facility. Omnipotent. Omnipresent. Omniscient. Omniaction. Performance. And what is the substance of mind? Mary Baker Eddy tells us that there is only one real substance, and that is spirit. Which means that the substance of mind is spirit. And spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, reflective, flawless. That means that not a single individual can be flawed. Because the definition of man said that we are the spiritual image and likeness of God. We cannot attach anything defective to any individuality, but must look as did Jesus upon everyone in their true spiritual nature. Forget what they may have done as a so-called mortal personality. Have you ever made a mistake? Have I ever made a mistake? I could write many books about the mistakes that I've made. As a mortal, my mistakes have been continuous. Every single moment that we permit anything less than 100% perfection to be entertained in our thought is a mistake. I mean, that leaves open probably 1,000 times a day. 365,000 a year. It only takes 3 years to make a million. If we're 30 years old, boy, we have a lot of them. How can we even forgive someone unless we've condemned them? Do we have any grounds on which to condemn anyone? Are we absolutely living, and have we always lived, an absolute life of perfection? We don't have to have someone else condemn us. We condemn ourselves whenever we do not follow the path of truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No. Are we understanding the truth? Are we following the truth? Are we practicing it? Practice makes perfect. Vladimir Ashkenazy, one of the greatest pianists of all times, was asked, how in the world can you perform with absolute perfection every single performance? They had apparently attended several performances and were experts in the piano themselves and could recognize the excellence that was flawless. He said, I practice until the music plays me. And I've listened to some of the concerts through recordings, and he talks while he's performing. He has totally removed himself from the performance. He's enjoying the performance. He's letting his hands be the flow through of the perfection of the principle of playing the composition. He's above it. He is in the divine. He's not in physical movement. He's not thinking about the physicality of anything. He's having fun. One of them I listened to, one of the compositions, it said, now watch, pretty soon there will be the trickling of a stream of water. He had absolutely removed himself from being involved. The music was playing. He wasn't. The excellent composition of the composer was being performed without a human element blocking the perfection of the composition. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall practice, perform, with all thought, speech, and action, everything you do as an object of truth, as a reflection of truth. You don't have to work at it. You have to get your work out of the way and let it perform. Let the music of God perform. Let the harmony and balance of principle and the lubrication of love, the intelligence of mind, the substance of spirit, the spiritual senses of soul, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling, so that all identification with all five senses are with a spiritual nature. After all, our ability to identify has to be based on the substance of spirit. Why? That is the only substance there is. If we're not seeing substance as the only real substance, then we're blind to reality. If there's no substance, then whatever it is we're involved in is non-existent. The Bible says that we have to recognize the visible before we can be reflecting the invisible. Mary Baker Eddy makes a comment about Jesus, saying that his divinity was only possible because he maximized the humanity. In other words, he perfected humanity such that when he saw an individual that had a problem, he didn't see the individual with a problem. He saw the individual as the perfect compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. And with that kind of a consciousness about any individual brought forth the vision of everyone that was involved to see the individual perfect. Instantaneous healing. No time involved for reality to be real. The only time involved is when we mess around with the in-between. There's a statement about the beginning and the end is perfect, and don't mess around with anything in between and try to prevent it from being perfect. We have to follow what Vladimir Ashkenazi did. We have to let the music of the perfection of God play us so that we can have our light, our beacon, like a lighthouse, be shining continuously without interruption all the time. And of course, the only real time is now. And the only space is here. For there is no real empty space, because God is infinite. That's our duty, to see that there is no time, that there is no space. Frederick L. Rawson demonstrated how to heal back in time. He decided that if time is not real, then why can't we go back and correct something that appeared in a so-called human arena and eradicate it? And once he realized how to do that, he did it over 500 times, as of when he wrote the book about it. Well, he wrote the book, he included that in the book, two different books. One is Life Understood, and the other one is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. He wrote many others, but those two both give a recount of how he was able to heal back in time. Now, he didn't say this specifically, but imagine if someone did that, it would erase everything that was involved with that problem from then until the point of healing. In other words, it would be not in memory. How could it be? It was healed. It was healed as soon as one recognized that there was a problem. So anything that took place after that evaporated. Wasn't there to be recollected or anything. And that's what a true healing is. A true healing removes it from memory totally. Because what can we really remember in reality? Only good. On page 587, it defines good as being God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And of course, omni means one, only, and all. So there's no competition, there's no opposition. It's like the lady coach that was coaching a high school team for cross-country foot racing. And she taught them to focus on one thing, and it wasn't who else was on the track. It wasn't whether they were winning or losing. It wasn't whether someone was ahead of them or beside of them, ready to take a lead. Nothing along that line. It was to understand the principle of running and perfect their performance in their race. Not someone else's race. Not the one to the left or the right or in front of you. That had nothing to do with your business. Your business is taking care of your race. And you're only racing against truth, trying to overcome anything that is between you and truth. That's what the real striving is for. To put error, which is truth's opposite, aside, out of the picture, below the level of your consciousness, so you don't give it a moment's thought. Our duty is solitary. To be reflecting exactly what man is. The infinite compound infinite idea of spirit. The spiritual image and likeness of God. The full representation of mind. Mind being omni-intelligence and omni-wisdom and omni-knowing. Can we ever forget anything if we're reflecting the knowing of God? No. There is an automatic photographic memory. We don't even have any responsibility. What we do is we yield to the knowing of something much more grand than a pulpy substance called a brain that is inside a cranium, a skull. That has nothing to do with anything. The only power to remember everything is with the one and only infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. That's where it all is. Anything to do with the mental is mind. Anything to do with substance is spirit. Anything to do with identification is soul. Anything to do with system or structure, foundation, is principle. Remember about the 32 planks. That is our platform. That is our principle we stand on. Anything to do with life is living the qualities of God. That's like Ashkenazi. He's living the music. He's enjoying the music. He's letting the music perform, and he's totally removed from it. Truth is staying on track. We have to make sure we have a pure motive, and all thought, speech, and action needs to be following that pure motive. The golden rule is right in the middle of truth. And love. Love is the lubricant, like a mother, that is nurturing everything to complete fulfillment. The lubricant of love needs to permeate all of the other qualities. If we think we're going to be intelligent and be hating, we got a problem. We can't be thinking about matter if we're intelligent. We can't be thinking about emotion instead of spiritual sense. We can't be thinking about death if we want to be alive. We can't be thinking about error and mistakes if we want to live in truth. Truth has to be our model. And love has to be the atmosphere of everything we think, say, and do. Without interruption, continuously, the permanent penetration or the fabric upon which everything else is done. It's been said that one can say or do things that another opposes to. But if they do it with the pure motive of love, then it will be received at least for consideration. In other words, if we need to introduce someone to an idea that they've objected to in the past, if we have a pure motive, and if we deliver it with love, that's a whole different story on how it will be received versus if we try to deliver it with force. Besides that, we must remember that unless we're walking on water, we may be wrong. And I would suppose that if we're walking on water, we wouldn't be making opinions. We would only be expressing the truth that are the words of God, divine mind, not anything that was a human personal opinion. If we're going to walk on water, we got to be above the whole sense of materiality. Dale Carnegie, a very wonderful trainer of personal and business success, anything to do with success, he said, be very careful about making a strong opinion about anything. He said, you may find out additional information at some time later and reverse your entire opinion. Your assessment will be enlightened with truth that you were not aware of. So better to listen instead of talk. If you have a disagreement with someone, learn why they're thinking the way they are, why they're expressing the opinion that they're expressing. Once you understand what they're saying, you may agree with them. And if not, then you agree to disagree in a civil manner. Einstein said, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. That's what the first quote was about. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's three quotes at the beginning of the textbook. The second one is by Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy, and it says, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. So if we're seeking the truth, and we're going to input into consciousness spiritual, not material thoughts, then we're going to be abiding by the laws of God. And that's what God hearing our prayer is one way to look at it. It's us really doing the listening, us doing the research, comparing. Is what I'm doing in a line with what God is, what God's laws are? Am I forgetting anything, neglecting anything about what the laws of God are? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's talking about the invisible, which is only visible through symbols. And then he's talking about, well, what do we do with what is visible, that is our neighbor? Are we practicing the golden rule? He didn't separate them. He said the next is like unto it. In other words, if we're going to love our God, we've got to be loving our neighbor. If we're not loving our neighbor, it's impossible to love God. Are we always considering the other individual that we may be communicating with, or have a relationship with, or doing something with? That makes it very clear. Easy. So we can know no other reality, to have no other consciousness of life than good, God, and His reflection, and to rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. That's what Shakespeare was talking about. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we have a pain or an emotional pleasure, are we thinking of it the same way as being ungodlike? says here, we must rise superior to the so-called pain and pleasure of the senses. That's a quote from page 242 in the textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Well, that's the sum and substance of the entire Plank 4. And we devoted most of our effort to looking the first three words. Looking at the first three words, the only way. So there's only one way. In everything. And that's the way of truth. The way of perfection. The way of God. Is that the way, the path that we're traveling? Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Think about concrete as being a symbol of permanence, solid, something reliable, something that doesn't change. Mary Baker Eddy gave her class of 1898, which was the final class in the Metaphysical College, 7 prayers, which she entitled Diapason of Heaven. This particular plank seems to focus on mind to make sure that we are going to be letting the guide not come from personal sense, mortal mind, brain, or nerves, or any of that kind of decoy, but it's going to come from divine mind. In fact, the title is Footsteps of Truth. That's the title to the chapter. Think of it as following the path of truth. We have to be alert. We have to let our light shine so we can see the truth. Our light is the light of understanding. I shall recite to you the diapason of heaven for mind by Mary Baker Eddy. And that will conclude this prayer treatment on plank number 4. The real Christian scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven. Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. We can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and to see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. It is Tuesday, November 4, 2025, at 17:37. Thank you for listening to this extemporaneous prayer treatment on the topic of plank number 4 with a subject of the only way. And this is from the chapter of Footsteps of Truth from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And this begins on page 331. The end.